The name of this lesson is called The Divine Promise, Part 19. You know, in the hearts of many Christians today who have accepted Christ as their personal Savior, and they have a desire to know Him even more, there is still that haunting doubt that they may not still be saved. They may feel like they have not arrived to an acceptable level of righteousness. And if Christ came today, they may be condemned. But this thinking comes from thinking they have something to add to their salvation. Plus, we should never walk according to our feelings, but we should look to the written word to see where we stand. The mind is a thought-producing machine that just constantly pumps out negative thoughts mostly. So we must turn to something much more solid than our thoughts or our feelings. The word says, "The just shall live by faith and not by sight," or how you feel. Many believers think they have to add something, some good works, to their salvation in order to keep it. They don't fully understand, nor do they trust in the slain blood, shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ who died for them, that His blood is sufficient for their salvation to the uttermost. God does not want His children to think that He can't keep them saved, nor does He want them to think that He condemns them when they make a mistake, because all of the condemnation and wrath of God was put on His only begotten Son who died and went to hell in our place. That's how much God loves us. Who of the human race would have that kind of love to offer up their only son for another's life? God is love, and God's love is divine and infinite. Sending His only begotten Son was the only way that mankind could have access to a holy God who demands justice. No man can be righteous enough to meet God's standards of righteousness. But the Lord Jesus met all the demands on the flesh and carried with Him all of our sins, past, present, and future, to the cross, and He nailed them there. The Lord Jesus never sinned in His lifetime while on earth, even though there were temptations, just as there are with us, but He never yielded, not once, to any of the flesh or the devil. Anything that the devil could throw at Him, He never yielded to it. He overcame so we can overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. Not by our own power, but by the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within us. We are free from God's wrath and condemnation. God is now our friend, and we don't have to be fearful and tormented if we fall or miss the mark in our journey walking with the Lord. Total perfection will not take place until Christ returns. The word says that when we see Him, we will be like Him. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory." You know, this lifetime is a journey, and there are so many lessons to learn. But we take one step at a time. You know, when we first start out, we learn to crawl before we walk. And we fall many times in our attempt to stand on our own two feet and experience balance. It takes a while to learn to be a balanced believer. Some go from one side of the pendulum to the other. At one point, they are extreme, then they swing over to the other side and they are so lukewarm, it looks as though they have lost their faith. But God is long-suffering with His children. And some grow faster than others. Some learn to walk in balance faster than others. Paul said not to compare ourselves with each other. You know, Moses threw the Ten Commandments down, and they broke into many pieces. And the Holy Spirit guides us and leads us to make choices based on the truth of God's word, and He slowly pieces the moral aspect of His law back together in our hearts. This is not an overnight process, but once we are born again, We don't keep being born again and again. We just start our walk in Christ, and there are many lessons to be learned along the way. When we are born again, we don't like sin. In fact, we hate it. But nevertheless, we do fall, and the flesh is too weak to keep God's positive commands on the flesh. But Christ has overcome the world and the flesh and the devil, and he abides in us as the strong man to bring the old flesh under subjection through his Spirit and his Word. Jesus said, "My words are spirit and they are life." If for some reason you are distracted and you don't get into God's Word like you should, you will become spiritually weak. You must eat to have strength, just like in the natural. When we are in his Word, it strengthens the new man to wrestle the old man down so that we can stay free from the strongholds that bind people and make them very sad and unhappy as Christians and as believers. But this is all the work of the Holy Spirit. The Lord has given us the tools. We just need to pick them up and use them. He has even laid out for us a roadmap. We just need to read it. The Holy Spirit empowers us and leads us into all truth, and it is the truth that makes us free. This earth life is like God's little red schoolhouse of suffering. And suffering takes the shallowness out of us, and it builds character as long as we are acknowledging God's headship over all things. We have faith in God, but our faith will be tested, and when we come through a trial trusting in God, we become stronger and bold, and we begin to rise up over the fleshly kingdom, and we find happiness living in the Spirit. Again, this is all of God's Word, seeing that he called us before we called out to him. For it is God which worketh the will and the do in you. And he chose us before we chose him. The Word says he loved us before we loved him. The sacrifice of Christ was enough for the atonement of sins. His work to save has been done. Atonement or at-one-ment. His blood makes us one with him. We are now his blood kin. We are part of his royal family, and God takes care of his own. As we allow God to pluck out the tares in the garden of our hearts, then the fruits of the Spirit will flourish. Weeds always hinder the growth of a plant. This is why you let the weeds grow, so you can see them and call it what it is, put the blood of Jesus on it. And sometimes we're blind to our pride and arrogance, so the Lord has to bring these things to our attention. Then as we grow, we can see ourselves very plain as we look into the mirror of God's Word. Someday, we will look into the mirror and see Jesus looking right back at us. There will be a day that when we look at him, we shall be like him. But in this life, we will always have imperfections. Just when you think you have arrived, you stumble and you fall. This is not the time to be discouraged, but encouraged that you have seen yourself. If you don't see things that are unchristlike, how can you confess it to the Lord? It is a daily process. Paul said, "I die daily." The hard part has been accomplished at the cross, and that was Christ reconciling us to God. But now that we have entered into the door, we are in God's schoolhouse of learning. The blood of Jesus is like spraying a weed killer on the unwanted desires of the flesh. But we don't know that they're there until we grow some. The Holy Spirit puts in us the desire to seek God. The Holy Spirit is also our counselor, our friend, and our very link to God. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of all I have said, John 14:26. And then in John 14:27, he says, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. So let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So peace has been made between the believer and God. Before our regeneration, God is our enemy, and we are his. The Lord called us out of the world of disobedience into the world of obedience under Christ by his power. But our obedience is not perfect, and we do fall. But falling down is just an experience of learning. When you fall, you are falling forward, and you get up. And when you get up, you are a little bit farther down the road of spiritual growth. The word says, though we fall, we shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth the righteous with his hand. Looking in the natural world for just a moment, I want you to consider this. Our solar sun has a radius 100 times that of the earth, which means that about 1 million earths would fit into the sun. Then you can put millions of our solar sun into other solar suns in the universe. And they are all hanging in space, being held up by the power of God. The Bible says all things were upheld by the power of God. So don't you think with all of his power he can't keep you saved? I believe that he can keep you saved. What is easier, holding up all the planets in the universe or holding us up in a right standing with him until the final day? This is not a problem for the Lord. With God, all things are possible. If people leave the faith and never come back, then they never had it to begin with. If a person says he was born again and he leaves and he goes back into the world and loves to sin, then he was never born again. In 1 John 2, verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. So not all Christians who say they are Christians pass the test of time. We were made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus because we have no righteousness of our own. Ephesians 2:8. We are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Romans 10:9. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. Once we are saved, there is no reversing it. It is a done deal. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So God does not write our names in the Lamb's Book of Life and then change his mind because of some sin we might commit or have committed. Our past sins are part of our past, our unregenerated nature, and there is no longer any remembrance of them in the mind of God. Maybe in your mind, but not God's mind, not even one. Therefore, when we are born again, we are sanctified by his blood. And we are justified by his blood. Justified means just as though you have never sinned. Even if you never consciously committed a sin in your life, let's say, you still fall short of the glory of God. Anything other than perfection is a sin. One bad thought would be a sin. So no man is without sin. He is born a sinner. The word says we are born into sin and shapen in iniquity. We can't win for losing the moment we are born. And you don't have to teach a child to lie. When they do something wrong and they're caught, many times they will automatically say, I didn't do it. It is because we were born in sin. Romans 4:25, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 6, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Always remember that salvation is a divine gift from a kind and generous God who loved us before the world began. He gave us to his Son as his Son's inheritance. So do you think he is not going to protect and keep that inheritance for his son? His almighty power that holds the universe together will easily keep us together in him and bring us into glory and present us to his son without fault and blameless as the Father's inheritance to his only begotten son. Our salvation in Christ is assured. We need only accept him in our hearts. Once we are born again, we want to serve the Lord. And the more we grow in grace and knowledge, the more our hearts are filled with gratitude for what he has done for us. That it is a pleasure to serve God. We were created for his pleasure. But before we were saved and regenerated, there is no way we could bring God pleasure. But now we can, because the force of the Trinity abides in us. The path of life is a narrow one, but a heart that wants God will find him, and God will always be there to guide it into eternity. You will call on me and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. That's Jeremiah 29, verse 13. So salvation has nothing to do with works of right doing, lest we boast, but everything to do with faith and acceptance of Christ and believing. The unforgivable sin is rejecting Christ and his gift of salvation. That is the only sin that will cause you not to be saved. This is how you can tell if you have been born again. Do you have a desire to love God? Do you have a desire to do what is right? Do you have a desire to help other people? Do you want to have a closer relationship with God? Do you want to read your Bible and pray more? These are all inward desires once you are saved. The Holy Spirit puts in us the desire to seek God. The unregenerated heart is hostile toward God, whether they acknowledge that or not. If the Holy Spirit weren't there, you would be seeking everything but God. This is life. All this learning is part of your journey. Sometimes Christians get discouraged because they are not as far as they think they should be in Christ. But we grow at the pace that God wants us to grow. No man can add one cubit to his stature, the word says. This is all the work of God. Salvation is only the first step into an ever and eternal road of learning about him forever and ever. We never stop learning. As the wheels of God turn in eternity, there will always be another new and fresh revelation about the nature of the holy God that created us. But before we jump off into eternity, we must first get through the door, and that door is Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." So salvation is the first step, and having the Holy Spirit has taken the second step. We are just going to school each morning as we face a new day. And thank God that the mercies of the Lord are new every morning. As we face the day, the master teacher is here to teach us about himself and also who we are in him. Sometimes we become so desensitized by the world and the things around us, we find ourselves totally unaware to what we have in Christ. The truth of spiritual reality just rolls off the lips of preachers so easily that we sometimes don't perceive the depths of what is being taught. So the work of God in us has begun. We are now children of light and no longer children of darkness. The Lord each day is revealing and making known his will for us. The world lies in wickedness and darkness, and we shine like lights in this world. And the children of darkness hate the children of light. When someone is doing some evil deed and the light is turned on, they will kill you to get that light off as quick as they can. The world, the flesh, and the devil feed off of lies and deceptions. They are steeped in the depths of darkness. Paul the Apostle, before he was regenerated or born again, was busy killing the children of light. He was blind to the truth and was putting God's children in prison for their belief in Jesus, until the Lord Jesus appeared to him on Damascus Road and told him, "You are Paul, you are persecuting me by attacking these people who are believers in me." So that lets us know when we are persecuted for the truth, they are really persecuting Christ. The people of the world live in a realm of make-believe. They are completely out of touch with spiritual reality. Here they are passing through this life, accumulating as much wealth as they can, and they can't take one red cent with them when they leave their bodies. Yet they ignore the truth and keep deceiving themselves and others. The Lord said, "Do not lay up your treasures upon the earth, because it will not last. But lay up your treasures in heaven, for where your heart is, there will your treasure be also." Jesus is our prize. Jesus is our treasure, and he will last forever. Every moment we spend in prayer and in the Word, in our worship and praise unto God, that will not fade away. Each time you praise the Lord, you are storing up glory in heaven's bank. The whole world system is built on a lie. They are out of touch with spiritual reality. Living as a believer is like living on a mountaintop. We see everything below very clear. And if we stay in the Word and prayer, we are not easily deceived. We are here to get saved by the blood of Jesus and to return to our original position in eternity. The Word says, "Look into that rock from which you were hewn or cut out of." We that are predestined were cut out of the Christ, the rock of truth. That is why we are drawn back to the truth, because it feels like we have come home. His sheep hear his voice and they follow. He did not have to go back and sell his message to the disciples. He just walked by and said, "Follow me." They heard his voice. They knew the voice of their shepherd. Some were fishermen, and they just left their fishing nets and immediately followed the Lord. Now, when we are babes in Christ, we don't see the flesh, and it's only when we have grown some that we start to see these things. Then we see things that are unpleasing to the Lord as we grow. For the candle of the Lord will shed its light on the things that are unchristlike within us. So before you were saved, you didn't see all these things that you see now. Now you see how impatient you are, how controlling you can be, how angry you can become, how doubtful, lustful, fearful, and so on. It's because the Holy Spirit has shed his light on those dark things in our life. They have been there all along. The Holy Spirit's job is to bring them to the surface so you can acknowledge them to God. We have already received forgiveness of all of our sins, past, present, and future. Yet when we see these fleshy things, we offer them up to God, and he changes that corrupt energy called sin to righteous energy to give us more zeal to study and pray and witness and so on. Paul said that he died daily to his flesh. Acknowledging our flesh when it comes up and putting the blood of Jesus on it, it's like getting some jet fuel to run on for God with more zeal. The law of sin is still quite active within us. We just don't have to obey it anymore. We are no longer controlled by its power. We are no longer slaves to sin. But when we do fall, there is now no condemnation over the sin that comes up. It has been covered by the blood of Jesus. It's living from glory to glory. It would be like a gardener picking out the weeds to assure himself of a beautiful garden. Our fallen nature is full of corruption, and when the residue of sin comes up from the old man or unregenerated person that we used to be, it is good to confess that before the Lord. This rids us of unwanted guilt and nurtures our personal relationship with the Lord, as well as it renews us in the Spirit to serve the Lord. When we were regenerated, our new man is born of God with incorruptible seed. Our new man is born of the Spirit. The flesh is never going to be perfected in this life. The Bible even says, confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. To not acknowledge our pride and weakness is pushing it down, and it puts us in a state of self-denial. We don't want the devil to use anything against us. Many times when a child of light falls, the devil is quick to accuse and whispers in their ears, hey, see, you never got saved. You still have those old desires in you. This is when you need to realize there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. It is good to confess to the Lord. Also, the flesh coming up will keep us free of our spiritual pride. The Pharisees had a lot of spiritual pride. The Lord was always rebuking them for it. They thought they were more righteous than everyone else. Matthew 23:27. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead man's bones and all uncleanness. The Lord said in Matthew 23:26, thou blind Pharisees, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. So after we get saved and we have walked through the door of salvation, then the Holy Spirit begins to make the inside of us clean by showing us ourselves in the light of God's Word. We are happier when we are not swimming around in the muddy waters of the world. But sometimes we do jump in, only to find as believers we are not happy going back to our past life. As we stay within the happy fence of restraint, we feel free. We don't try to not sin. It is just part of the new nature to hate sin. That is one of the evidence of being saved. The Lord said, he that is without sin, let him cast the first stone, and they all walked away. So as long as we are in this world, we are subject to falling at times. But falling down is not falling dead. And remember, sin has consequence. Paul said to maintain good works because they are profitable for you and for others. Good works don't save you, but good works produced by the Holy Spirit within sure makes living in this life much better. Sin does have consequence, some more than others. Sin means to miss the mark, to be a hairbreadth off the target. Anything short of perfection is sin. So no man is without sin, even though there is no corruption in the new man. We are still carrying around this apron or physical body that is fallen. We are like a small chicken kicking its way out of the hard shell to walk in its new environment. We are like encased in a fallen body of sin, yet God uses it for the growth of the new man within. Only an all-wise God could come up with such a wise and clever plan to bring us back to Him and to prepare us to come into His presence, His almighty presence. Job asks, who can bring something clean out of something unclean? No man can, but with God all things are possible. So we are kept by the almighty power of God. If He can hold everything else in life together, He for sure can bring us to the end and to our eternal inheritance. Jesus said, have faith in God. When we are trust in the Lord, then we are at peace with ourselves and with others. Don't let the devil's birds of doubt land on your head and make a nest there. Shoo them away and keep your eyes on Jesus. Only one window was in the ark that Noah and his family were on. They could only look up. Colossians 3:2, set your affections on things above, not things on the earth. So the Word of God says, He is not a fool to lose that which he cannot keep, to gain that which he cannot lose. Without Christ in our hearts, we are all but fools collecting a fool's gold, only to discover someday how poor we have become in the end. Accepting Christ in your heart is the beginning of your journey back to the Godhead.